Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast with my friend Jen Houston. Jen, great to have you with me today.
Great to be here. Thank you, David.
Well, I wanted to talk today about this whole issue of life again, partly because the church I pastor, Moments of Hope Church, is dealing these next 2 weeks with the issue of life with an organization here in Charlotte that now has become nationwide called Love Life. It is a way for people of faith to express their conviction that life begins at conception. We want children to be born into this world, and we think kids should be valued at every possible age and stage of life, from the womb to the tomb. But also, I was struck last Friday on September the 24th, 2021, with something that happened in our nation of huge consequence, in my opinion. The House of Representatives, which is the body that most represents the people in the United States, representatives elected every 2 years because it was a way our founders thought would be best for the people to be able to control what happens in government, they made a decision to try to codify life and abortion into our governmental rules and regulations. This has never been done before. Even Roe versus Wade, the decision made in 1973, has not been codified, or there would not be continued expressions of objection to the Supreme Court even to this moment. It was a radical, stark attempt by the Democratic Party to make legal the ability to terminate a pregnancy from conception to the moment the child is born. It will reflect the laws that already exist in Illinois and Rhode Island and New York State and other places. It is, again, radical and has caused a great deal of consternation. For me, what struck me the most was the vote. The vote was 218 to 212. Just a few votes being able to turn that whole decision in the House. There was only one Democrat who voted with the Republicans. 211 Republicans voted against it along with one Democrat versus 218 in the Democratic Party who voted for codifying this particular law. Now, the good news is, for those of us who call ourselves pro-life, is that it will be dead upon arrival in the Senate. For the Senate even to vote upon it, they will need to pass a 60-vote senator line in order for that to be approved, and it simply will not happen because the filibuster rules of the Senate will prevent that from ever coming to the floor. But nevertheless, I think it expresses the huge divide that is in our nation right now, and it has become starkly political. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. The Democratic Party is pro-choice, pro-abortion. The Republican Party is pro-life and life beginning at conception and being protected in the womb and there beyond. So I just wanted to spend some time, Jen, with you today and with our listeners talking about this issue, how it's not going away, how people in 1973 with Roe versus Wade thought it was settled law. Interesting, a parenthesis there. I do a weekly radio program on News Talk 1110 WBT, 1110 AM, 99.3 FM. And some years ago, before she passed away, I actually had Norma McCorvey on the show. Norma was Jane Doe in the Roe versus Wade decision. Wow. And she was talking about her conversion to Jesus and how she regrets having been used by the left and the Democratic Party to do what was done in Roe versus Wade. But again, people thought the law had been settled, but nothing could be farther from the truth. A lot of things have occurred to keep that in the minds of people all over our nation, and not the least of which over the last several weeks has been Mississippi, which has then passed a 15-week abortion bill, which means that anything after 15 weeks of abortion quality cannot happen in a mother's womb. That's going to go before our Supreme Court in the next 6 months or so and a decision to be made. But even more so, Texas came up with a more radical view of an abortion bill, which will not allow abortion after 6 weeks. And to add to the inflammation of this problem in the American cultural mindset is that Florida has passed now a law that's very similar to Texas. What we have here, Jen and listeners, is a collision of worldviews. Mm-hmm. For those who have a worldview that is informed by Judeo-Christian values, it looks like being held more by the Republican Party, they are trying to protect life from the moment of conception onward. For those with a more secularized worldview expressed, I think, in the Democratic Party, they want to codify abortion in the laws of the land, making it a federal regulation where no state like Mississippi, Texas, or Florida, or any others who want to follow a similar vein of legalese will be allowed to do so. So we have a collision of worldviews going on right now in our culture. It's happening along the fault lines of life. And I think every person listening right now, every person that lives in our world has to make a decision regarding what they believe. You're seeing nations taking stands that are more pro-abortion. The little tiny nation of San Marino, surrounded by Italy and the Vatican and the Catholic Church, has recently taken a pro-choice legal perspective. In Argentina this past summer, you saw the Argentines doing the same thing, and literally there were tens of thousands of women in the streets weeping and dancing with joy because the government said that abortion is legal now. So it's become an issue that is going to continue to divide people, not only in our nation, but around the world. And every one of us has to understand what are the issues involved. Now, what I want to do in today's HopeCast is just talk about the issue. And then next week, I want to look at the issue through the lenses of faith and values, through the lenses of a biblical worldview. But Jen, let's just today just talk about the issue itself. It's been in existence since 1973. I'm older than you are. I remember when that was passed, and I have heard and seen the battles over the last 60 years or so. And indeed, they are becoming more intense in our nation. They're not going away anytime soon.
Well, I remember as a child in the 80s standing along the streets. I don't think they do this much anymore, but along our church, we stood out, you know, with signs, you know, pro-life, you know, life begins in the womb. And so I was marked early on by the pro-life movement. And even as an adult, as a mom, I just want to say, having to explain what an abortion is to my children is chilling. It is chilling. And that right there, even though I was raised in the pro-life movement, that conversation right there, as I heard the words come out of my mouth to my children and the horror on their faces, like, so that could have been done to me? You know, like, it just is chilling, and that's where it solidified in my heart and in my mind and my being is this is evil. This is an evil thing.
Well, in 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, again, many people thought it was settled law. And one of the arguments that's even advanced today to the Supreme Court is it's already been decided. We don't need to bring this up again. Of course, if we'd had that attitude with slavery, we would have never overturned the Dred Scott decision when that was made and wrongly made at the Supreme Court level later to be overturned. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happened since 1973 is several fold. First of all, I think there's been just a general malaise and discomfort in the hearts of many people, whether they're Muslims, Jews, Christians, or atheists, that the womb should be the safest place in the world. Like when you try to explain this to your children, they're horrified. How could that be? Mm-hmm. Again, I think that malaise has always been there over the last 60 years, and people have continued to question, is this the right thing to do? I think also there has been the advent of sonograms. Mm-hmm. In the early 1980s, my wife worked in the crisis pregnancy center here in Charlotte. Before we could have children, we waited 8 years for God to bless us and thought we wouldn't be able to have them. Doctors never gave us a positive report. By God's grace, we finally were able to have not one, but two, but three. But when Marilyn worked in the crisis pregnancy center, she would have to take one of those models and show it to people what was really going on in the womb. She actually changed the mind of a United States congressman who came through the center, and she showed the model, and he changed from pro-choice to pro-life when he saw what actually goes on in the womb. She actually changed the mind of a young OBG, who was in training in Charlotte at that point, who has now become one of the leading pro-life doctors living in Missouri and has presented before the Supreme Court himself. Maryland persuaded him by just showing him that model. But now not only do we have the models, we have sonograms, where people can actually look inside the womb and see fetal development. And it's caused a lot of people, even some who aren't people of faith, to say, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. That's a life in that womb. And I think also the third thing that's happened, Jen, is the number of women who've been traumatized by abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, they say in their spiel on the left that this is safe and effective and you'll have no trauma from it. Now, certainly there are women out there who have calloused hearts and don't feel like it's traumatized them. They've gone on with their careers and they've come out and said, I'm glad I had my abortion. Mm-hmm. We have some women who've actually done that today, some who are in athletics and say, if I had been forced to carry this baby to full term, I could have never had the acclaim I have now in sports, which is a real reflection upon the worship of self-autonomy that we have in our culture, the idolization of self and how we believe that success is more important than anything else, even having the blessed gift of children. But there are numbers, thousands upon thousands of women who have been traumatized by abortion, who do realize they took the life of a child. Many have received the grace of Jesus and forgiveness. Praise God for that. But others are taking a strong pro-life stand because they know it's just not right. Mm-hmm. So this issue is not going away anytime soon that I can see. Mm-hmm. And even though women keep advancing all of their arguments like, it's my right to choose, well, it is until there's another person that's in your womb, and every piece of science that we are discovering now says that fertilization is the beginning of life. We're crying out all the time now, follow the science with the COVID problem. Well, I say follow the science with the whole abortion question. Mm-hmm. Every part of who you are exists at the moment of fertilization. The decision for the color of your hair for the rest of your life has been decided at the moment of fertilization, at the moment of conception. And when else could life begin? For at that moment, the number of years you live on this planet is decided. And I, of course, we believe in eternity. That's what happened as well. And we'll talk about that more next week. So the right to choose is only a right if it's not another life that's living within you. Others say that pro-lifers want to control women. Well, many women are the ones who want to have abortion made illegal because they know what has gone on. Many women are the ones leading the whole pro-life movement. I would even argue that more women are leading the pro-life movement today than are men. And many of them are millennials because of sonograms. Wow. They can see actually what's going on in the womb. Others say that pro-lifers are only pro-birth. They don't care about children outside the womb. All I can say to that, that's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. There are many of us who are pro-life in the womb who believe in adoption, who believe in fostering, who believe in feeding hungry children, who believe in caring for them in every possible way. That's just an overstatement and exaggeration in every way. Some say the fetus is just a clump of cells. We've already talked about that. Mm-hmm. It may be initially, but that clump of cells is forming into a human being, and it can't become a human being unless it's first a clump of cells. So is not life beginning at that very moment when those clumps of cells are forming into life? And plus, we don't even know that it's life and a clump of cells until later we see there's a heartbeat and brain waves at probably around 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Thus, the Texas and Florida laws realizing that if a baby can have a heartbeat and brain waves at 6 weeks, that must be a baby. Some people say the fetus is not a person or a potential person. Again, science just doesn't allow that position to be held. Some people say that women have reproductive rights. You do. You have the right to choose if you want to have a baby, but the minute you have intercourse with a person, you have decided the possibility of having a baby. And if you do have conception in your womb, that's a child. Mm-hmm. Certainly dependent upon your womb, but that's a separate person with a separate body, with separate feelings, with separate brain waves, with separate heartbeats, and you've got to take seriously the question, how do I care for that life inside of me? Some say the problems with all of this is against women. Again, women are the ones who are leading mostly the pro-life movement today. And just the whole idea of unwanted children in the world. We don't need to bring in more children who will be born into poverty. How do we know, though, we haven't aborted a child in the last 50, 60 years who had the cure for cancer, mm-hmm. who had the cure for ALS? We don't know. The right to give and take life belongs only to God. And for those who say they're unwanted children, all I know is there are more people who are ready to adopt today than there are children available.
Wow.
Fostering's another issue that is a huge problem, but there are many Christians especially trying to step into the fostering issue as well. Mm-hmm. The bottom line, Jen, is it is an issue that's not going away. It's an issue that can be addressed without even bringing in Christian, biblical, religious arguments, which we will do next week. Mm-hmm. But it is an issue that we must address. We've got to be courageous about. We can't remain silent. Life is what God mm-hmm. is all about.
This is so good and so compelling. And one thing I'd like for you to speak on is, what about that very, very small percentage of those who have been assaulted or raped? And one of the words that comes to mind is, that moment wasn't innocent, but the child conceived is innocent. What would you have to say to those situations?
Well, as painful as rape is that conceives, it's less than 1% of all of the conceptions out there. I have great pain for the woman who's caught in that difficult position. But you know, Ethel Waters, the great gospel singer, was conceived in a rape. Mm-hmm. She said repeatedly, "I'm so glad my mom chose to give me life." And if you have that life within you, Jesus said, no greater love does a person have than to give up their life for a friend. Aren't you giving up your life for that baby to be born, maybe then given away in adoption, but mm-hmm. then to be raised, and that child could be the very child that finds the cure for cancer. And your love for that child, even though inconveniencing you terribly for 9 months, is a gift to this world. Mm-hmm. And also, the only one I struggle with, Jen, is the death of the mother, potentially. Mm-hmm. And if I was told, you've got to decide between bringing Marilyn back or that baby back, I would say bring Marilyn back. Mm-hmm. And that's the only one I would struggle with. But that is less than 0.01% of all the conceptions that are out there. Mm-hmm. I don't let that one be the issue that informs me on the other 99.9% of the life that's out there in the womb. Let's not let the 0.01% be the red herring that keeps us from dealing with the real issue mm-hmm. of this very important problem in the world.
That's really beautiful. And you also have a special message to people who have had an abortion before.
I do, Jen. And it is, the grace of God is the forgiving, healing balm of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And that healing balm not only forgives abortion, it forgives my pride and arrogance, some of the mistakes I have made in my life, which are every bit as bad as those that have had an abortion. I would even say that the sin of pride, that's the sin that sends you to hell. Mm. That's not the abortion difficulty. So give it to the Lord. Let Him heal you. He can. He will heal you. And I know so many women that I've counseled through the years who've had abortions, and I take them to the cross of Calvary. They receive Jesus' love, grace, and forgiveness, and they're now on the forefront of the pro-life movement because they've been healed by the grace mm-hmm. of Jesus themselves.
Wow, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. Lots to think about today. Thank you so much for your thoughts, David.
Well, thank you, Jen, and I appreciate yours as well. And listeners, thank you for listening to us talk about a very sensitive issue. I hope we've done it faithfully. Next week, we'll look at the biblical perspective on abortion. And for those of us who follow Jesus, we can't deny what the Bible clearly says. Again, this is a worldview issue. It is, how do you look at the world? Do you look at it through a secularized worldview where you have the right in autonomy to make your life's decisions? Or do you submit to God, who is the giver of all life, and do it His way according to His will, especially when it's difficult? I'm David Chadwick. Thank you for listening to this HopeCast. Jen Houston and I look forward to talking with you all next week.